Now we're holding in Tainis, page Memches, the last line, middle of Os Tesvav. We've been learning about different statements about Divrei Torah and the importance of learning from a proper Rebbe, and the Talmud himself should be hogun, should be erlich, and acting with good midas. And the last thing we learned is that Torah is compared to water, because water goes mimakom gavoya lamakom namuch. In the same way, when a person learns Torah, he has to be humble. Now, there are other liquids that Torah is compared to also in that same pasuk. So therefore, the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Oshia, Lama nimshalu divrei Torah b'shlosha mashkin halalu v'mayim uv'yayin uv'chol. The Torah is compared in the same pasuk not only to water, but also to wine and milk. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Hoy kol tzomei l'chol ha'mayim. Everyone, hey, everyone who's thirsty, go to the water. We have the Alter Rebbe points out in Tanya that Hoy is a lashon of tsar, because we're talking about a person who doesn't realize or he doesn't pay attention to the fact that the way to slake his thirst for other courses is to learn Torah, and he thinks there's some other way. Anyway, the point is that we're comparing Torah to water. Ochtiv, and the same pasuk continues, L'chu shivru ve'echolu, go purchase and eat, and go buy without money and without any kind of medium of exchange, yayin v'cholav, wine and milk. Meaning, in other words, the pasuk is saying like this: normally you would have to pay for these kinds of things, but Torah, even though it's like wine and like milk, you don't have to pay for it. All you have to do is learn it and know it. So the Torah is being compared in the same pasuk to three different liquids. Why is that? So Loi Malacha tells you Mashloishin, meaning Mashkin Alolu, in Meskaimin, Eluba Pochus Chibakalin. These liquids will only last and not spoil when they're kept in the plainest of kalim, when they're kept in earthenware kalim or other kinds of things like that that are not going to react with them. After, as opposed to, for example, gold and silver kalim. After Divrei Torah and Meskaimin, Eluba Misha Daita Shvala Olav, the same way Divrei Torah will last only by a person who feels humble and doesn't consider himself to be like a gold or a silver keli, very, very important. Ion Yaakov points out that, so first of all, Maharsha Shah points out, now we have the comparison with water that they go mimakom gavoya lamakom namuch. Now, of course, that's true of any liquid. Any liquid is going to find the lowest possible point. But water is commonly spilled on the ground. Wine and milk are not. So therefore, it wouldn't really fit to use that as the nimshal for it. And also you have those natural bodies of water that go from higher to lower, for example, springs and rivers. And you don't have natural bodies of milk and of wine, which is why the Gemara is not using that explanation, but rather saying that they do have all of this in common. They do, all three do have this in common, that they have to be kept the pachas shebekev. Ion Yaakov also adds there's three different liquids compared that therefore corresponding to the three aspects of Torah, Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. V'hainu de Amrulei Brati de Kesel Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. As we find an example where the daughter of the emperor says to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Now we find all over Shas where Rabbi Yeshua would regularly go and debate with the Roman emperors, and often you have a number of stories where they would try to claim that their religion is better than ours, or their way of doing things is better than ours, or whatever. And every time Rabbi Yeshua would show them up, there's all kinds of different stories throughout Shas where Rabbi Yeshua was always able to answer the minim and able to answer the emperors whenever they hurled some challenge at Yiddishkeit. Anyway, so one time the emperor's daughter says to him, "E woe chokma mefu'ara b'kli mechor, this wonderful praiseworthy chokma in an ugly cape," because Rabbi Yeshua was not so nice looking. The story is also told in Masechta Nedarim, and in Nedarim, the main pirush over there that people learn is the Ran, because what's printed over there is Rashi, and Nedarim is apparently not from Rashi, and various Mefarshim point out mistakes in it and whatever. So the Ran points out over there in Nedarim, it may not be so much that like the shape of his face was ugly or something, but rather we find in other Gemaras that Rabbi Yeshua worked as a blacksmith, so therefore his face was dark. So actually all the Ran says over there is his face was dark. That can mean that he had a naturally dark complexion, or it could mean that his face was full of soot because of his work. whatever the case, or it may mean more straightforwardly that it means that he actually didn't look so handsome. Whatever the case, she's saying to him, well, what a pity that such a beautiful Chochmah is in such an ugly cave. Amalah biti Malkus, he asks her, you daughter of the king, avuch b'maid romi chamra, what kind of kalim does your father keep his wine in? So Omrelev money de pachra. So she says he keeps them in earthenware vessels. Now there are different girsois over here, which is why you have a bunch of parentheses over here. Rashi seems to have had the girsa that it's not Omrelo and Omrele, but rather he himself points out to begin with, you know, your father keeps his wine in earthenware kalim. Meaning Rashi says he's meaning it as like a bit of a joke, but like a joke with a point to it. Meaning, in other words, the same way as your father keeps his wine in earthenware kalim, the same way it's appropriate for my chochma to be in this ugly kalim. Anyway, according to the Girsa of the Ein Yaakov, Amalah, he says that when she says that, according to the Girsa of the Ein Yaakov, when she says that he keeps it in earthenware vessels, then Rabbi Yeshua pretends like he's surprised. Amalah, kula amma b'moni d'pachra, v'avuch b'moni d'pachra. How is it right? Everybody else keeps their wine in earthenware kalim, and your father, who's the emperor, is also keeping it in earthenware kalim. Well, she took it literally. She didn't realize what he's getting at. Omrelay elabamai numi. So she asks him, well, what should we put it in? Omrelay, he tells it, you're so important. You should be keeping your wine in gold and silver containers. Well, she took it at face value. So she told her father, you know what, we really should be keeping our wine in gold and silver kalim. But takif, well, eventually what happened was it went sour because the metal reacts with it and therefore it spoiled. So the emperor asked his daughter, the takif means it became sour, it spoiled, it became sour, yeah. So the emperor says to his daughter, Man Omalachochi, who gave you such an idea? Omalay Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. So she blames Rabbi Yeshua for it, not realizing, in other words, that he was saying only a marshal, and she took it over literally. And he tells her what happened, and she tells him the whole conversation. So they summoned Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya to appear. And the emperor says to him, why did you tell her such an idea? She told me that my chochmah is in an ugly keli. So I answered her back that wine is also kept in ugly kalim and it does better in them than it does in gold and silver. In other words, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, when I mentioned to her the idea of gold and silver kalim, I meant it as a mushel. She should realize that it doesn't work. I can't help it if she took it literally. And so she now here in the Gemara asks the question. Now it sounds like the Gemara is asking it almost as an anonymous question. Like now that we have the story, we have to ask when we read the story. Okay, but don't you have the fact is that not everybody who's a chacham is ugly. On the other hand, the Gemara in Nedarim has the words Omrelay over here, which means that's the continuation of the conversation where the emperor's daughter, the one who began all the trouble, asked Rabbi Yeshua, well, don't we find Vahika the Shpiri Yugmiri? Don't we find people who are handsome and they're learned? So it's not always that one, it's not, you're saying that wine is always kept in ugly kalim and it won't do at all in gold and silver, but we see in fact that there are people who are like gold and silver, they're handsome and they have a lot of knowledge of Torah. So the answer is, I have a sonu, tfei habugmiri. Yes, but if they were sonu, then they would learn more. Now Rashi understands, well, Rashi doesn't say in so many words, but the implication seems to be that sonu means if they were ugly. So if they were ugly, they would be able to learn more because, like this, a handsome person, it's impossible for him, Rashi says, to be mashpil daito, to feel humble, and therefore he's going to come to gaiva. Rashi says, oisam noim, those handsome people who are chachamim, if they were sonu, which the implication is that sonu means ugly, tfei habugmiri, they would learn even more because a handsome person inevitably is going to feel a certain degree of gaiva. On the other hand, Tosfos says sonu doesn't have to mean ugly. It means if they were to hate the beauty, in other words, not hate, but like be indifferent to it. If they don't care about the fact that they're handsome or beautiful or whatever, and it's not important to them, then they're not going to become Bali Gaiva from it, then they'd be able to learn more. So in other words, he's answering her, yes, you have people who are very handsome, you have people who have real hadras upon him and are great to Menachachamim, but that's because they don't consider that point important. other people maybe consider it. They have a hadras panim. It makes people look up to them, but they themselves don't consider it important. And therefore, if they don't, then they become greater tamana chacham. If they do consider it important, then that takes away a certain degree of their greatness as tamana chachamim, because then it gives them, because then they have a sense of guide. So then they become Bali Gaiva, and then they end up forgetting. Marsha points out in that Gemara in Nedarim, he says that the Tosfos' explanation seems to fit better with the words, because sonu, the word, according to Rashi, you would have to understand that sonu means ugly in the sense, well, the word sonu comes from the word sina. So according to the explanation, then it means if they were ugly, it would mean if they looked like the kind of person where people would hate to look at them. And that's a little bit of a doichuk to understand it that way. Ihavu sonu fits better with Tosfos' explanation, that it means if they themselves hate or are indifferent to the whole matter of physical beauty in themselves, then havu gmiri tfei, then they would learn more. So in other words, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, yes, you have people who care about their appearance, but they don't reach the upper rank of Tamar Chachamim. Then you have people who don't care about it and they're handsome, or people who are in fact ugly like me, and they become top Tamar Chachamim. Another thing the Gemara says, now again, we got into this by way of saying that Torah is compared to three different liquids that are kept best in plain containers, wine, milk, and water. So, what?
They in Kitas Rashi said the idea of milk, it's one gap.
What is it? In today's Chitas is about the dinner of Erech, but you have milk in there. Another reason why the Torah is compared to these three liquids, wine and water, wine and milk, are all ruined with hesach hadas. If you don't pay attention to them, Rashi explains, they can spill or something might fall into them, and then you're not going to want to drink them. Now, there are other liquids that you're going to want to use, and things might fall into them also. Rashi points out, what about oil? What about honey? Torah is, in fact, compared to those as well. The difference is, though, that with oil and honey, because they're thicker, first of all, if something falls into them, it's not going to sink into the bottom and contaminate the whole thing. It'll float on the top, and it'll be much easier to take it out, as opposed to with wine and water and milk. Since they're all thin liquids, then if something falls in, it's going to sink to the bottom, and it's going to contaminate the whole thing. So these liquids can become unusable because of hesach hadas, avdivrei Torah, and mishtakhin ela behesach hadas, the same way Torah gets forgotten when a person doesn't pay attention to it and doesn't keep on reviewing it and learning more. So that's another reason why the Torah is compared to these three liquids. So this was all a digression. This was all digression from the topic. We were talking about rain, and then we digressed to talk about Torah, because we said that a day of rain is as great kiyom shenitna bo Torah, or yosim yom shenitna bo Torah, and that led us into a whole discussion about the comparison of Torah to rain, and we went from there this whole digression. So now getting back to rain, Amar Rav Chama bar Chanina, Godol yom hagshomim kiyom shenivru bo shamayim ba'aretz. A day of rainfall is as great as the day that heaven and earth were created. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Harifu shamayim mimal." Heavens drip from above, like drip rain. Ushchokim yizlu tzedek, and let shchokim, which is the name for one of the layers of shamayim. We'll learn eventually in Masechta Chagiga that there are seven heavens, and one of them is named shchokim. So the shchokim yizlu tzedek should flow forth with righteousness, which means rain. Hiftach eretz v'yifru yesha. The earth should open up, and it will produce fruit of salvation. Utzdaka tatzmiach yachad, and tzedakah will grow altogether. Ani Hashem beros tziv. The pasuk finishes off. I Hashem created it. Now, if it meant now, what's the it that Hashem is creating? So Poshet Pshat, the pasuk, because it's talking about the context is the pasuk is talking about how Kodesh is going to proclaim that all the Yidden can return to Eretz Yisrael and build the second Beis Mikdash, and therefore Hashem is saying, I made all of this happen. You're going to think that the geopolitics, that it's Kodesh conquered the Babylonian Empire, and then he decides in order to make everybody loyal to him that he's going to issue such proclamations, but you should know Hashem is saying, I'm the one who's making it all happen. But anyway, he was saying that if it meant the heavens and the earth that it talks about earlier in the pasuk, then it should have said brosim, I created them. but brosim loinam, it doesn't say I created them, ela brosim. Rather, it says I created it. So what does that mean? So Rashi says then the it refers to the rain. Therefore, it means, in other words, Hashem is, so to speak, taking pride in, Hashem is boasting of the fact that he created the rain. In other words, Hashem is saying, as much as it's great that I created heaven and earth, it's at least as important, or maybe even more important, that I'm creating rain. Ani Hashem barosim. Marsha says another point of it. We always use the word bara is only ever used in connection with Maisa Bereshis. In general, I think the Ramban points out, or maybe it's the Rambam, I don't remember, that the word bara, we never find in Tanakh of it being used of anything that a human being creates. Because a human being doesn't create Yesh Me'ayin, only the Ebishta does. And the word bara specifically means that kind of creation. So now when it uses the word brosiv, and we're saying that since it's in the singular, it refers not to Shemayim Va'aretz, but rather to the rain. So therefore, we're saying that it's almost like Yesh Me'ayin. So the Ebishter is calling it Berostiv, that I created it as a Yesh Me'ayin kind of thing. Ion Yaakov also adds the point. In other words, the Gemara brings in Chagiga a machloikas. What was created? In what order were things created? Was the heavens created first, and then the earth, or first the earth, then the heavens? Machloikas b'shama b'shilol, and then the Chum say they were both created together. So now we're saying that also Ani Hashem b'rosiv, that I created it, the rain, all at once, just like I created heaven and earth all at once, and therefore again that bears out what the Gemara is saying, that a Yom HaGshamim is as great as a day when Shemayim Va'aretz were created. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Oshia, Godu Yom HaGshamim Shafilu Yeshua Par of a Rav HaBoy. A day of rain is such a tremendous thing that even salvation grows and flourishes in it. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, when you have that, when on a day of rain, it's an eis rotzen, and therefore melitzes chos, malachim, who defend the Jews, come in front of Hashem, and they're more accepted on a day like that, because it's an eis rotzen. Shenem, dichtiv, because the pasuk that we just quoted says, tiftach eretz v'yifru yesha, the earth will open up when the rain falls, as we said earlier in the pasuk, and salvation will grow and flourish. So we see that when Yizl tzedek, yeah, but we're saying that the tzedek, but Rashi later on explains that tzedek means the rain, which Hashem gives us as a thing of tzedakah. But the fact that it's saying yesha, salvation, means, in other words, that people are saved from all kinds of other things that Hashem would have planned for them. And then melitzei zchus, malachim, who defend the yid, come in front of the Eibishter and mention a person's zchusim. So that happens more so on days of rain. It's an eis rotz.
Why did they have to mention
sports in that ancient part of the day? But still, we know we had in last week's Pirkei Avos, right? That any time a person does a mitzvah, koinolei praklit echad. So now those praklitim, those malachim created by his mitzvahs, come in front of the Eibishter and so to speak, mention and remind Hashem about what the person did and bring schos for him. Yeah. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Tanchum Bachani Loi, Einak Shamim Yodim Elam Ken Nimchalo Avnei Sein Shal Yisrael. When rain doesn't fall, unless it means that Hashem has forgiven the averus of the Jewish people. So you have, in other words, when they do averus, then there'll be a drought. And now when they do tshuva, when Hashem forgives their averus, then it rains. Shenema, the pasuk says, Rotzisa Hashem Artzecha. You Hashem have favored your land, meaning by bringing it rain. Marsha points out, we have a different pasuk that expresses the idea. We learned this pasuk yesterday. Pakadta Earth Fatshake Keha. Actually, no, we didn't. We learned a different pasuk, but anyway. The pasuk mentions about rain, about the Shake Keha, that you fulfill the desire of the earth. About the Shekikeh, Meloshin Shuka. The earth desires to have rain. And again, it goes with what we said before, that the rain is like the husband and the earth is like the wife. So she has a taiva, Vel Ishech Chukosich, and therefore it has a desire for rain. And therefore, Ratzisa Hashem Artzecha means that Hashem, you fulfilled that desire of the earth by giving it rain. The pasuk continues, Shavta Shvis Yaakov, you've returned the captivity of Yaakov. You've forgiven the averus of your people. You've covered up all their averus forever. So we see that there's a connection. When is Ratzisa Hashem Artzecha? When it goes together with Nasosa Avon Amecha. So Omel is... So that's the thing. So Rashi says it means b'mayim, and Maharsho explains because Sidrotzisa Hashem Artzecha means that Hashem provided what the Rotzen, the desire of what the earth wants. And since the earth wants rain, then therefore Rotzisa Hashem Artzecha means that Hashem brought rain. The people need it too, but we're saying that the Rotzisa Hashem Artzecha, the expression is not Rotzisa Hashem Amecha or something. So we're focusing on what the earth itself means. So the Gemara continues. Omele Ze'iri mi dihavas l'ravin. Ze'iri from Dihavas, the name of a place, says to Ravin. Rashi mentions an interesting matter of Girsa over here. It's not the regular Ze'iri in Shas. The regular Ze'iri in Shas was one of the first, was one of the earliest Amiroim. He was a Chaver or a Talmud of Rab. Ravina is one of the last Amiroim. So they never saw each other. They would have been a couple hundred years apart. Therefore, so Rashi has the Girsa Mar Ze'iri mi Dihavas. But the point is, it's not the regular Ze'iri that we have in many places in Shas. This is a later Chacham of the same name. Anyway, he says to Ravina, Atun mehocha masnisula, you're learning this concept from that pasuk that you just quoted, Ratzis Hashem Artzecha, Anan mehocha masninula. We, in our yeshiva, we learn the same concept from a different pasuk. In Shloima Melech Tvila, by the Chanukah Sabayis of the first Beis Mikdash, he says, he describes different situations where a Yid is going to come and daven in the Beis Mikdash for Hashem's help, and he describes a case when there's a drought. So the pasuk says, "Va'ata." So they're going to come daven in the Bismikdash. "Va'ata tishma Hashemayim." You Hashem will listen in Shemayim. "V'salachta l'chatas v'gomer," and you will forgive the averus of the Jewish people. And the pasuk continues, "V'nasata motor al aritzecha," and you'll provide rain for your life. So in other words, we see also there the connection that first comes that Hashem forgives the averus, and then comes the rain. The Rif points out there's a nuance of difference between the psukim. The posuk from Tilim has Ratzisa Hashem Artzecha first. So how do we know then that it means that the rain is necessarily preceded by Nasasa Abayin Amecha? Whereas the posuk in Malachim makes it very clear that first comes V'salach V'lachatas Amcha Yisrael, and only then comes V'nasata Marta Al Artzecha, which bears out the point that Rav Tanchum Bachaniloi said that first comes, that at first Hashem forgives the Jewish people the Raveiris, and then the rain comes, in that order. Another thing, so now the Gemara is going to talk about the flip side of it. We just mentioned reasons why rain does come. Now we're going to talk about reasons why rain is held back. What are different averus that people might do that make it that rain is not going to come? Well, actually, first, the Gemara is going to mention a general one. Rain is withheld only if the enemies of the Jewish people, which is the usual euphemism for the Jewish people themselves, deserve to be destroyed. Rahman al-Islam. So then, in other words, Iyun Yaakov points out, since we have the concept, the Medrash always says, Ein Bala Rachman Pageb Nefoshes Tchila, Hashem, who is the source of all Rachman, doesn't first attack Nefoshes, doesn't first attack wives. Therefore, when they're in a Sky of Kloya, then instead Hashem first brings a drought, which therefore causes that it hurts people in the pocketbook. And then the idea should be they'll do tshuva, and then things don't have to progress from there. Then rain will fall and everything will be good. Shenema, the pasuk says, Tzia Gam Choim, dryness and also heat. Yigzalu meme sheleg, steal the waters of the snow. Now the waters of the snow means the rain. In other words, you have snow melts and then it feeds the rivers and then it evaporates and it forms clouds from which the rain comes. So meme sheleg means meme sheleg ultimately means the rain. So the heat and the dryness steal the snow waters, meaning the rain, that they're prevented from coming. She'ol chato'u, because they've done averus that go all the way down to she'ol, or averus that make them deserving of being put in she'ol, which is another name for Gehenna. So we see, in other words, that the connection is they do serious averus, she'ol chato'u, and therefore the water that should come to them is being stolen and being held back. So again, Omele Ze'iri mi Diavas to Ravina. So again, Ze'iri mi from Diavas says to Ravina, At Atun Mehocha Masnisula, you're learning it from that Pasuk in Iyov, Anan Mehocha Masnisula. We in our yeshiva, we learn it from a different Pasuk in Chumash, although we say every day in Shema, but also as Hashemayim v'lo yimotu v'gayim, Hashem will hold back the heavens and there won't be rain, v'gayim v'abad to Mehera, and you'll be lost quickly from the land. So we see, in other words, the connection is when the Jewish people deserve to be v'abad to Mehera, and then the first thing that happens is that v'otzer as Hashemayim. So Yeah, so a different posit that so a different posit, again, the Rif points out the nafka minna between them would be that according to the first drasha, according to the posit from Iyov, it would apply to any avera, to any serious avera. According, if we use the posit from Shema, then it's talking about ravatim alekim acherim v'ishtach v'isam lahem. So then it's specifically avera zora out of all averas that has that effect, not so much other averas, no matter how serious they are. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Amar Abchista, Ein Agshamim Netzarin El Bishvil Bitul Truma So Maisus. The rain is held back only because people fail to give Truma and Maisus. The same pasuk that we just quoted, we're going to douse it in a different way. Shenema Tsiya Gam Choyim Yigzulu Meim Eshelig. The heat and the dryness steal the snow water. The Maimashma. Where do we get from that pasuk anything about not failing to give Truma and Maisus? So Tonet Veda Bishmal, they taught a brisa in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. It means like this: Wadaushin and the word Sia as related to the word Siva. We often find that Yud and Vav are interchangeable. Like we have the word Yelad and we have the word Vlab, for example. So there's a number of places in Lashon Kodesh where Yud and Vav are kind of interchangeable. So here we can daushin Sia as though it said Siva. So therefore, Bishvil Dvarim should see Visi Eschem in Moshe Chama. Hashem says, because of the mitzvahs that I commanded you to do during the summertime, so Tzia Gam Choyim, I commanded you to do during the Choyim, during the hot time of the year, V'loy Asisem, and you did not do them, because of that, Yigzalu Mei Meshelag means Yigozalu Mekem Mei Meshelag, the Moshe Chama, therefore the snow waters, the precipitation, the rain and the snow are going to be held back from you during the wintertime. So how does that refer to Trumas and Maisers? So during the summertime is when you're doing the harvest, and that would be when you're giving Truma and Maiser. Marsha points out, actually, really what it is during the summertime itself, during the harvest season, you actually have the Matnas Aniyim that you have to leave. Leket, Shitcha, Peah, Truma and Maiser is primarily later after you've threshed the grain and piled it up and made a heap of it and smoothed out the heap, which is called Miruach. At that point, it becomes Chayiv and Truma and Maiser. The point is, though, Marsha says, that's why it says Gam Choyim. These are mitzvahs that can apply other times during the year, but also during the summer. So Leket, Shitcha, and Peah apply only in the summer, because that's only when you have these things available in the field for the poor people to pick. Truma and Maiser apply somewhat during the summer, if you've done your threshing and whatever then, but they can also apply other seasons of the year, depending when you finish your processing of the grain. Therefore, that's why it says gamcho. Marshall also adds in Masechta Shabbos, this Gemara is also brought. Marshall adds over there. So where are we getting that they're failing to do it? Fine, we're saying tzia gamchoim means I commanded you to do during the summer. Where is the part about that they're failing to do it? He says because the word yigzlu is meant as a double thing. It goes together with the first part of the pasuk, Tzia Gam Choyim Yigzlu, what I commanded you, Hashem says, what I commanded you to do during the summer, you stole and failed to give. And the result is, Yigzlu goes with the second half of the pasuk as well, Yigzlu Mei Meshelek, therefore the snow waters, the rain and the snow are going to be withheld. So even Amoratzim give Terumah, so we're saying, if there's a period of time when they don't, we have in this coming week's Pirkei Avos, we have Shiva Minit Puronius, Borim La'olam, Shiva Gofa Averda, and one of them is when people are not giving Maiser, and when people have decided completely not to give Maiser. So yeah. So here we're saying that when people are failing to give Truma and Maiser, keep in mind also it's Trumois in the plural. The Amei Oretz would give Truma Gdoila, but they wouldn't give Trumas Maiser, because at least the ones who were careless with it, the ones because of whom the whole concept of Dmai had to be instituted, weren't giving any of the Maiseris, so they weren't giving Maiser Rishin, they weren't separating out Trumas Maiser either. That's also included in Trumas. The Gemara continues. Amar Reb Shimon ben Pazi, here's another one. The rain is held back only because of people who speak Lashon Hara. Now, we actually were going to have in the Gemara over here, we're going to have a whole bunch of different statements. Different Amuroyim are going to attribute the lack of rain to different Aveiros. So the Gvura Sari on our Masechta from the Shagas Arya says evidently they're disagreeing. Rav Chista holds the reason for it would be because they failed to give Truma and Maiser, and Rav Shimon and Pazi is saying because of Lashon Hara. And then we're going to have various other reasons as well. On the other hand, the number of the Mefarshim say that they're not necessarily arguing. Each one is pointing out a different kind of Aveira that can cause it. So when he says, Einak Shem Netzanim Ela Bishvil, he doesn't mean this is the only reason, but he means in his particular generation or in his particular time, this was the one mitzvah that we needed to strengthen and shore up because people were being careless with it, and therefore he used that kind of expression. In fact, there's a point that Reb Tzadik HaKoyen makes in one of his Sfarim. He says you have altogether seven different things that the Gemara is going to mention over here, corresponding to the seven midas. So each one of the things that the Gemara is going to point out over here has to do with one of the seven midas. Anyway, Shimon Pazi says Enoch Shavim Netzar and El Bishlam Asapir Lashon Hara. The rain is held back only because of people who talk Lashon Hara. Shenema, the pasuk says, Ruach Tzofen Techoilo Goshem, the north wind Techoilo rain. Now, the simple meaning of rain, of Techoilo, means it causes, that when there's a north wind, then it brings clouds, which bring rain. But here the Gemara is doubtioning that the word Techoilo means that it prevents it from happening. We have the word Lo Yachal Dvaroi, that a person desecrates and disobeys what he made in Neder. So the same way over here, Techoilo would mean to cancel out and prevent it from happening. So the north wind prevents the rain, which actually explains, we can understand that on the basis of various other Gemaras that mention that the north wind is a wind that clears away the clouds. You get nice sunny weather as a result of the north wind, but you're not getting rain because of it. So Ruach Tzofen Techoilo Goshem, the north wind prevents the rain. Ufonim Nizomim, and an angry face, Lashon Saser, when there's talk in secret. Meaning, so Rashi explains that when you have the north wind is blowing and wiping away the clouds, and therefore there's no rain, and Hashem is therefore showing, so to speak, an angry face to the world and not giving rain. Why is that? Because Lashon Saser, because people are speaking Lashon Hara in secret. So that's where we get that it means that when people are speaking Lashon Hara, then that causes a drought. So that's one way of understanding it. Maoshah points out another possible meaning of Pomim Nizomim means the people now have upset faces because there's a drought, because there's no rain, and therefore the people end up with Pomim Nizomim. Why is that? Because Lashon Saser, because people are speaking Lashon Hara in secret. Rashi points out the simple meaning of the pasuk is that that Shloime, as he often does in Sefer Mishlei, is giving us a mashal and a nimshal. The same way as the north wind inevitably brings rain, the same way Lashon Hara inevitably brings angry and upset faces. So Shloime is using that to warn people about the danger of Lashon Hara, but here the Gemara is finding a different layer of meaning in it as well. Another one, Amr of Salah, Amr of Hamnona, Enak Shamim Netzar and Elabashvil Azeponim. Another reason that rain is held back is because of Azeponim, because of people who are chutzpedik. Shenema, the pasuk says, Vayimonu Revivim, the rain has been held back, the Revivim, the showers of the rain have been held back. And there was no Malkush, which we looked before, was the rain that comes particularly in Nisan time that helps fill out the grain, its last little bit. And the Navi says to the Jewish people, you have the forehead of an Isha Zoyna, where an Isha Zoyna is often, first of all, the forehead in Tanakh is often a symbol of Azus Ponim, and an Isha Zoyna is that type. She's very brazen and pretends like she's not doing anything wrong. So the Pasuk, in other words, is saying, why is there no Revivim, and why is there no Malkush? Because you have Metzach Isha Zoyna. In fact, Maoshah points out, the Gemara tells us in Zvachim, each of the Big De Kahuna was Mechaper for a different type of Aveira, or a different type of Midara, and the Tzitz, which goes on the forehead, was meant to be Mechaper for Azus Ponim. So again, because the point is, the Gemara says, because it's on the forehead, therefore it's Mechaper for Azus Ponim, which, as we're saying in this Pasuk, is associated with the forehead. The metaphor is, in other words, that when a person is not so brazen, then they're embarrassed, they're going to cover their forehead and then their eyes or whatever, so people don't see them as much. Whereas when they're brazen and I'm doing everything right and you have nothing bad to say to me, then they'll show their face openly and have no shame about it. So therefore, therefore the forehead becomes a symbol of Azus Ponim. They're not afraid of a rabbi reading their thoughts from their forehead too. Yeah, there is that also. Yeah. So we see the connection, in other words, that the pasuk is saying there was no rain because Metzach Isha Zoyna Hoyolov. Rashi explains, in other words, that it means, in other words, by imon revivim. Why? Because, and the pasuk finishes off, may anti call him, but after it says, may tafin yazona, hoyolach, the last words of the pasuk are, may anti call him, you refuse to be embarrassed. So that's the point, because you have the Meitzachisha Zoyna, and in other words, you have, this is talking about the context, this is talking about the Jews in the times of Yumia, where they're brazing it out and saying, what do you mean? We're not doing anything wrong. May anti call him. And even when the Nevi'im come and tell them, you're doing such and such wrong, and Hashem is displeased with you, they say, nothing doing, and we're not embarrassed at all of what they're doing. So now the Navi is saying, because of that, you're not having rain. For Amr of Salah, Amr of Hamnuna, and further, Rav Sala says in the name of Reb Hamnuna, also another drosha on that same pasuk. Kol Adam Sheyeshle Azus Ponim, a person who acts in an Azus Ponim Dika way, who acts in this brazen chutzpah Dika way, Soif Nichshav Aveira. In the end, he's going to end up stumbling over Aveira, where Aveira, unspecified in Gemara terminology, usually means Znus. He's going to end up falling into the trap of Znus. Shenem, the same pasuk says, Umeitzach Isha Zoyna Hayolach. So in other words, we douche in the pasuk a little differently. Umeitzach, because you have that brazen forehead, therefore, Isha Zoyna Hayolach, therefore you're going to wind up being Nichshav with an Isha Zoyna. Rav Nachman says a little differently. Not even that he's going to be, but Yadua Shenichshol Aveda. If he's an Azponim, we can be sure that he was already Nichshol in that kind of thing. Shenemar Hoyaloch, because the pasuk says you had, Volonemar Yiyaloch. It doesn't say you will have, which implies that you have Azponim now, and the result is later on there's going to be an Isha Zoyna. But rather, the pasuk is phrasing it Hoyaloch. Right now, you already had the Isha Zoyna, so that shows, in other words, when a person is acting and behaving in that way, it means it's inevitable he must have already been Nichshol in such a thing. The fact is, there can be a positive kind of Azus Ponim as well that I've often talked about. We have at the end of Sota, when you have all the things over there about Bas Koma Be'ima Kala B'chamoisa and people are, and Chutzpah Yaske and so forth, that there's a positive side to that Chutzpah. So obviously we're not talking about that positive side of it. We're talking about when a person is using it in the negative, inappropriate way, like you have in this coming Shabbos' Pirkei Avos, where it's a, you have Az Ponim L'Gehenim U'Boshes Ponim L'Gan Eden. And then you have right there, Yehuda Ben Tam also says, have a Azka number. So you have to have a certain Azus, but you have to be careful that it doesn't cross the line into Azus Ponim. Continues the Gemara. V'omer Rav Bar Rav Huna, kol adam sheyeshle azus ponim, a person who acts in this way of azus ponim of chutzpah, mutter lekroise rosha. You're allowed to call such a person a rosha. Now, usually Tosfos points out Rashi refers to that there's a Gemara in Kedushin that implies that ordinarily a person might be chayev malchus for such a thing. The Gemara doesn't actually say that there in so many words. So Tosfos quotes the Gemara more precisely, that the Gemara says if one person calls another a rosha, yored imel chayev, the one who was called a rosha has the right to a certain extent to go and harass the other guy and make life difficult for him. Different possibilities what exactly it means. Rashi mentions over there that it means like he can open up competing business to interfere with his livelihood. Tosfos in Bava Metzia, where this line is also mentioned, that brings from one of the Gaonim that he's allowed to burn one third of his Torah. So whatever, the point is there are serious consequences for calling another person a Rosha, but here where the person is an Azponim, then Rabbi Bar Rav Huna is saying you're allowed to. Shenema, as the pasuk says, he is ish rosha b'fono. The simple meaning of the pasuk is the rosha's azus ponim shows in his face and shows in his anger. The word ponim also means anger, but it means, in other words, he is ish because the person is acting with azus ponim. Therefore, rosha b'fono. Therefore, you're allowed to call him a rosha to his face. Doesn't say one way or the other, so it might even be in public. I don't know. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar Mutar B'Sinoisei, and Rav Nachman Yitzchok adds, also you're allowed to hate him. Now, normally you're not allowed to hate a fellow Yid. You have an exception. The Gemara tells us in Pesachim, if you alone saw him doing an Aveira, and so one person is not enough to bring Eidos on him and based him. We learned this in Pesachim. In fact, you could get in trouble for that. We have the story over there involving Tuvia and Zigurd, where Tuvia had done an Aveira, and Zigurd came to the Papa's Basedin to tell on him, and the Papa gave Zigurd Malkus. And how is it? He says, because you're only one person, so it's Stam Lashon Hara, so he's not allowed to, so he can't come to Basedin. But nevertheless, he's allowed to hate him. So here, Rav Nachman Yitzchok saying, the same way when the person has an az ponim, you're also allowed to. Shenema, the posuk says, "Be'oiz ponav yeshuna." The literal meaning of the posuk means the strength of his face changes. Rashi on the Pasuk says over there it actually refers to Moshe Rabbeinu when he came down from Har Sinai with his face luminous. He caught on Oponav, that it means like here he's a completely different color. The strength of his face, the power of his face is completely different after coming down from Har Sinai. But here the Gemara is doushening the word v'oiz ponav. We're doushening as if it said v'az ponav. So a person who has az usponim, yeshune, where we doushen, I'll take yeshune el yesune. Not yeshune, it gets changed, but yesune, he can be hate. So we see from that pasuk that an az ponim is that you're allowed to hate. The Rashi says yeshune is spelled v'sin v'aleph. In the printed Gemara, it actually says Yisuna with the Shva, which would be very difficult to understand. Where's the Shva come in over here? So it means with a Sin, and our show also says, even when it says Bishin V'Aleph, what does that mean? Either way, the word is spelt with a Shin and an Aleph. The point is, in other words, it's spelt with Daushin, it as though it said with a Sin rather than a Shin, Yisuna rather than Yishuna, and the word in the Pasuk is written with the Aleph at the end. If it meant the Lashon changing, then you'd expect it to end with a Hey. Since it ends with an aleph, we can darshan it as being Meloshin Sina, and therefore that brings us the drosha that we just said. Yeah. If he's not a Rosha, then no, you're not allowed to. Yeah, you have a mitzvah to love every yid. Even with a Rosha, we know what the Alter Rebbe says in Perek Lamed Beis that you have to have Sina from him on one side and Rachman and Rachmanus and Neshama from the other, etc. Yeah. All right. So the Rebbe describes that David Malka Mashiach is going to come and take us out of Golus, and every one of us will say to Mashiach Tzitkenu, Shalom Aleichem. Now, why Aleichem in the plural? Because that includes all the neshamas of the Jewish people who are going to be there at the time of Gola. And Mashiach will answer every person, Aleichem Shalom, also B'loshen Rabim, in order to include the Ma'aseinu, V'Avadaseinu of every Yid individually, and he's also going to say Aleichem Shalom to all the Jewish people collectively. Halachas of Shabbos. We're still in the middle of talking about the halachas of various things as far as temporary olim and things like that. So you have several other examples that he gives over here. For example, a lid of a chimney, for example. So if it's a, so you have sometimes, for example, in a fireplace, you have doors to the fireplace. Those you'd be allowed to open and close on Shabbos because that's only like Tosfos Mechitza. But if it's, for example, the cover on top, the cover on the top of the chimney. So here the Alter Rebbe also says, in keeping with what we learned before, only if it's opened very infrequently, then again, closing it on Shabbos would be making an oil. On the other hand, if it's a hinged cover, as you usually have, then again, we said hinged covers, you're allowed to open and close.